Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and this is our weekly look at the politics that affects the policies that affect your lives. And we've got a lot of bases to cover on this Sunday morning. We were talking about the issue of the Republican convention in Cleveland and how it appears more inevitable, more likely than ever, that it's going to be a brokered convention. Ted Cruz racking up delegates at various state conventions, including delegates that aren't necessarily ones that are bound in states where Donald Trump won. We're seeing kind of some problems within the Trump organization over trying to mount the right kind of people to basically wrangle up these convention delegates and keep them in line. In Colorado, for example, the person they tapped to provide the state convention a list of who were Trump delegates actually put down the names of people that were Ted Cruz delegates in some instances. So the Trump people were telling people, vote for these people, but they were really backing Ted Cruz. So a lot of disorganization going on in the Trump campaign. Ted Cruz using his ability to wrangle up delegates in places that you would expect to find that Donald Trump would be doing very well with. So a lot of problems there. But there was an interesting recap kind of video that the folks putting on the convention in Cleveland sent out, and it takes us all the way back not that long ago to when you had basically 17 candidates for the Republican nomination, and it brings us to basically to where it looks like it's going to be down to just three going into Cleveland. And so I want you to kind of listen to this, and you're going to hear it's a mashup basically of all of these candidates, and I want you to listen to it, see if you can pick out who is saying what at the various points in this video from the Republican National Committee. This is On the Road to Cleveland.
And that is exactly why today I am running.
I have decided.
I'm a candidate.
I am officially running.
Candidate
for president.
For the Republican nomination.
President of the United States.
Republican voters are setting records with voter turnout.
Participation was up more than 57%.
Well, now the time has come for our generation.
I am asking you to believe
so that we can create greater opportunity for every American tomorrow.
And that's why working together,
we can change this nation.
It's Super Tuesday.
Fox News can now project.
CNN is projecting
our first projections in this race for the White House.
And then there were three.
I believe in the power of millions of courageous conservatives rising up.
By staying together with our eyes on the horizon.
And we will make America great again.
These candidates are going to come together and unify in Cleveland and get behind that nominee.
Join us!
Kind of an interesting mashup there. That was at the end that was the Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus basically saying that that he was the party would unify in Cleveland. Now, of course, we've heard all the controversy going on, and you know, that's I don't know about unity, because you're seeing it right now play out in some of these state conventions as well. So just very interesting times. Well, joining us now on the phone is U.S. Representative Robert Dold from the North Shore 10th District. And Congressman Dold delivered the Republican Weekly Radio Address yesterday, and it was on the subject of this really growing, troubling dilemma of opioid abuse. Congressman, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Rick, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I'm not going to ask you to go ahead and recite the whole address from yesterday, but I mean, tell me a little bit about what can be done at the federal level. I know there's a lot of modeling kind of going on over very successful efforts in Lake County to deal with this.
Right, and that's really where I am coming from. This is that we're hearing from constituents about, you know, the various issues that they're dealing with. We're seeing the rise of overdoses that are happening throughout the greater Chicago area. We are losing someone every 3 days to a heroin overdose. And so literally, we need to be pulling stakeholders together. And so I am part of the task force up in Lake County to try to come up with solutions to problems specifically revolving around heroin. And so we're coming up. And so one of the pieces of legislation that I've introduced is something called Lolly's Law. It's named after Alex La Liberté, who was a Buffalo Grove resident, went to Stevenson High School. He was a good student, was an athlete, had good, a lot of friends. But basically in his sophomore year of college would be hospitalized, and they didn't know what was going on. And actually what they ended up realizing was is that he was addicted to prescription drugs and was going through withdrawals. And so eventually this is something that he ended up overdosing and eventually passing away in his sophomore year of college. And no one should have to deal with that. No parent should have to go through that grief. And so what we're seeing is that we're seeing the biggest gateway into heroin abuse is through prescription drugs. And so my bill, the Lolly's Law, would basically make access to naloxone, which is the heroin antidote, more readily accessible. We've been working with stakeholders like Walgreens and others, and Walgreens has graciously offered to put 500 prescription take-back boxes throughout the United States. They also agreed to put naloxone as an over-the-counter
for sale,
so they are able to do that in 35 states. This is going to be a big step forward, but there's a lot of things from the federal government in terms of legislatively that we have to do, but we're not waiting for the federal government in legislation. We are working with local stakeholders to move us forward.
Well, this again, you mentioned about with what Walgreens is doing, and I remember there were efforts, years ago here in Illinois to try to have these kind of collection boxes, but there were concerns about security of those. There were concerns, quite frankly, about federal regulation regarding, you know, returning prescription drugs and, right, and that chain of command kind of thing. So obviously
that still
some
is a huge concern. There still is a concern with regard to, you know, and that's why right now in Lake County, for instance, we have 27 prescription drug take-back boxes. They're located at police stations. We've been able to collect 12,000 pounds of prescription drugs right now. And the reason why we're really going after the prescription drugs is that has been highlighted as the number one, or at least one of the very key ways that people get into, called a gateway, the gateway into using heroin. And so they'll get hooked on OxyContin and OxyContin. And so we're working on trying to get the FDA, working with doctors to try to make sure that they're not over-prescribing, a bunch of different things that we're really looking to try to do to be able to nip this in the bud. But education is going to be absolutely critical. And many parents out there don't believe that this is an issue in their community. It is, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing everything we can to alert them to this issue.
And I know, you know, at doctor's offices throughout the suburbs, there are notices about, you know, look for these kinds of signs, which you would think in these prosperous suburban areas that, you know, this is something that can't happen here, but it is. And frankly, it's that cheap availability of heroin.
This is happening every single corner of our communities. And so it knows no so economic bounds. People might think, oh, heroin problem, this is for, you know, inner city. This is going to be back alleys. That's not the case. It is at Stevenson High School. It's at Natura High School. It's at every single place out there right now. And actually Lake County and Cook County, Northern Illinois is a huge target area for dealers. We're, you know, because of our infrastructure system, Rick, it's actually a great spot for distribution. So we know that this is basically ground zero in the greater Chicago area. And so we have to make sure that we are letting parents know that this is a huge issue. And so oftentimes one of the things that we're trying to do is educate them about making sure if you don't need that prescription drug to get rid of it, as opposed to leave it into your medicine cabinet, because that's where these students, these young people are coming. They'll go to a friend's house and they'll go into the bathroom, into the medicine cabinet, and then they'll gather those prescription drugs and they'll take them to prescription drug parties. They'll put them in a big bowl and people will grab a handful of pills and do pills. And that really has accelerated the number of fatal overdoses that we've had in the area.
We're speaking with Congressman Robert Dold from the North Shore 10th District, Republican from Kenilworth. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. My friends, Blackest Crow, and you can, they're singing Waterfall, which is a Hank Williams tune, and you can find out more information about them on the internet at www.blackestcrowmusic.com. And want to thank my friend Annalee Kane for sending that along on this Sunday morning in Chicago. We're speaking with Congressman Robert Dold, Republican from the 10th District, about the issue of opioid abuse and Lally's Law, the effort to try to encourage the use of federal resources on this. And Congressman, we've got a call from Ron on this issue. Ron, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yeah, good morning, Rick, and to your guests. Congressman, I want to speak more specifically about heroin, and I want to talk about what we have discussed in our community on the south and west sides, and some of the African American media, that the sale of heroin openly has been a problem for years. But there's a perception that, and even though the drugs have been out in these white suburban areas, because they come into these areas to purchase it, then it has now become a concern. But here's the biggest problem. Unlike with the crack cocaine epidemic, which, you know, Bill Clinton has caught some heat on recently, it's looked upon as more of a health issue. So sometimes, you know, people have to pull back the cover on these things, because there is evidently some racial overtones as far how this is looked at differently. But again, you know, Rick, it's been a problem with this heroin so openly devastating our communities. But now that, I'm just going to put it like it is, white suburban people are having problems. It's a big issue. So, Congressman, can you address those things for me? Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Yeah.
No. And I appreciate the comments and the sentiment. And let me just simply say that this is not a partisan issue. This is not a socioeconomic issue. This has been a problem for a long time. We've seen this problem get exacerbated significantly. And so we're looking at heroin. It is coming across the border today at a purity level that is much purer than it ever before. Access to it is very easy. It's cheaper than cigarettes. Some say more readily available than alcohol.
Congressman, how did it become so inexpensive?
Well, what's happening is that for that dose, for that high, they say it's cheaper than cigarettes. It's become so inexpensive because people it's coming across at that purity level that you choose to use it once. And then the addiction, the high is so intense that people have to have it again. And so it is getting addicted extraordinarily quickly. And therefore, again, the supply that's coming across into the United States, we have a drug superhighway that's basically coming across the Mexican border, really up into the Chicagoland area. This is the drug superhighway, and then it is being distributed significantly.
I'm curious, and I did ask you about this when we did Politics Tonight, too, about the issue of, you know, drug concerns always were looked at as issues of in poor communities, and now that kind of heroin and opiate abuse has kind of mainstreamed that it is it getting a different kind of an attention now?
Well, I think it is getting more attention now, largely because this is something that is getting worse. It's not getting better. And so as we look at, yes, we're going to continue to have a war on drugs. We're seeing that the biggest, you know, again, gateway in this is prescription drugs. And it's one of the reasons why we're dealing with physicians and trying to make sure that they're aware in terms of how they prescribe. I am certainly have been working with a number of members of Congress, working with the FDA. The FDA today has, you're able to prescribe OxyContin, some of the opioids, for moderate to severe pain. I believe it should be just for severe pain. But as the caller was highlighting before, I mean, this is an issue that, you know, we used to think about heroin being shot up using needles and the like, and that was something that a lot of people wouldn't cross. They wouldn't want to use needles to do those types of things. Today, you can snort it, you can smoke it. It comes in a lot of different ways for you to be able to ingest the heroin, and so therefore you see the ability for people to use it and actually the use of it going up significantly. So this is an enormous problem, and frankly, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can in every community, and that's why I think it's getting the attention that it has, not only in the United States Congress, but by local elected officials and the like.
We've got
just as an example, Rick, in Lake County, Illinois, the police force up in Lake County, the first responders have been able to save 70 lives in just over a year with naloxone because they've asked to have it in their vehicles.
We've got a call from Dominique. Dominique, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Good morning. It's Dominic.
Dominic, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No problem. Good to talk to you both. I just wanted to speak for a minute to the congressman, but also really to parents listening out there to reinforce what he was saying about being aware that this is something that can happen across cultural lines, across income lines. It could happen to anyone. My family of four children were raised in the suburbs. We were raised with somewhat affluence. I was successful in business. And the fourth of my children became addicted to drugs.
A blue Toyota sedan was headed.
Eventually, heroin. And it took us a while to believe that it could be happening to us. But it did, and he now is an addict, and he's in and out of recovery. But I think it's important for all parents to not ignore signs that they might see and just to believe that it is out there everywhere, and you have to watch your children from early ages, including, you know, the early high school years, for signs of dependency, addiction, and the friends that they're with and things like that, because it can happen everywhere.
Dominic, thank you very much for sharing that story with us. I appreciate it very much. Congressman, is there a federal funding component to this to help, like, maybe local law enforcement around the country to be able to get that naloxone and that kind of thing? Is that part of this legislation you're looking at?
Well, that certainly in terms of resources, that's always something that the federal government, in terms of grants and grants for first responders and the like. We're also looking at what we can be doing in terms of just education out there to make sure people are aware of this. But one of the things that I'm really trying to do, Rick, is not wait for the federal government. You know how difficult it is to pass federal legislation in certain areas. We're working with local stakeholders. So whether it be the schools, whether it be local law enforcement, and what's interesting, we're working with the state's attorney's office. We're working with places like NACASA, who deal with as Dominic was talking about, they're dealing with the addictions and trying to deal with those that are already have a problem. So we're really trying to get everybody together around the table so that we're not only identifying it quicker, but we're actually trying to provide treatment. And so we do need to be able to focus on this treatment aspect of it because it is absolutely critical. But there are local organizations like the Fuller Center and other places that are also trying to step up and have an impact. And that's why we are not waiting for the federal government to do it. We'll obviously continue to do so, but we're really trying to have an impact much more quickly in communities throughout the greater Chicago area.
Congressman, we just have a couple of minutes left in this segment. I want to shift gears and obviously talk some politics with you. And it's no secret of your disdain for Donald Trump, but are you planning on going to Cleveland for the convention?
If it's an open convention, I think that that will be something that most people will want to be at, to try to make sure that we're guiding, you know, where this goes, or at least trying to influence in some way, shape, or form. So I'm just not sure yet whether we're going to be there or not, or whether we're spending time here in the district.
My
initial plan is to go.
I started the program by playing the soundtrack of a video that Speaker Paul Ryan released that talked about, you know, what the goal of the party should be, and it shouldn't be about divisions, and that it ought to be, that politics ought to be a contest of ideas between conservatives and liberals. And
absolutely.
Immediately there was speculation that here is Speaker Ryan, who's not a candidate for the nomination, wanting to be a candidate for the nomination.
No, and let me just put it into that notion. That's something, if you've listened to Speaker Ryan in the past, that is something that would absolutely be right along his mantra. He's been saying those types of things, talking about the American idea, laying out a vision for where, you know, Congress wants to take the country. So this is something that is not, well, let me put on a different hat. Let me try to see what I would say if I were running for president. That's not what the Speaker is trying to do. The Speaker is, you know, he's the third in line right now for the presidency, and has a big job with regard to trying to lead the United States Congress forward. And so, you know, he likes to say he has, you know, constituencies. He's got, you know, the first district in Wisconsin as a constituency, and then the members of Congress as a constituency now as the Speaker. And so we are trying to, at this stage of the game, lay out a bold vision about where we want to take the country, and lay out that vision so that the American people can take a look at it and say, that's what we're looking for.
That's Congressman Robert Dold, Republican from Kenilworth in the 10th District of Illinois. Congressman, thank you very much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.